Episode of 44. Who or what is best known for setting the pace of any race and always finishing on top? Still guessing? Well, while you're trying to figure that out, the Savvy Turtle is already two strides ahead of the game. Yep, the Savvy Turtle always finishes first. And in this edition of the Leading Chaos podcast, we're going to delve into the attributes of becoming one with the way of the turtle. So let's get out of our shells already and get this show on the road. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. I am super excited to be discussing the way of the turtle in this edition. And before we get started, I just want to let you know that on the leadingchaospodcast.com website, there is now an option where you could leave a voicemail. And this is through a program called SpeakPipe. And there's like a little toggle that comes up and you just press that and you have 90 seconds. And don't sweat that. You know, if you run out of time, just do another little voice message and I'll edit it on this side here and figure it out. Maybe it might go live or maybe it will just be a conversation between you and I. I do always hold your privacy is really important to me. And, you know, one of the things that I do on the side, I also write about beer and I take a lot of photos as a craft beer writer. And I always say to the folks that I'm taking photos of, I would never put a picture up of you that you would be embarrassed about. I just don't do that. And certainly I won't do that if you leave me a voice message. So check it out. If you're on the podcast website here, just hit that voicemail and let me know what you think about the show or throw out a question. This is part 25 of an ongoing series of the Leading Chaos Story. And I've been going through my book that I wrote on this topic of a curriculum model that I essentially consider an emotional first aid model that helps you move through any conflict or crisis. It sets a recipe and helps whether you are a professional intervener or just a regular Joe, you know, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother out there trying to manage conflict successfully. And frankly, I think we all are trying to manage conflict successfully, even though sometimes we want to feel like we want to lose it and just, you know, let it rip and maybe say something that's not so nice. At the end of the day, we all want to do that successfully. And so that actually does transition us perfectly well over to our topic today, which is on the Savvy Turtle. And I want you like to think about a turtle for a moment. Recently, this past couple weeks, there's been a number of turtles coming into my yard, and I think it has to do a little bit with the soil here. They're little painted box turtles, and then occasionally we'll get these like giant snapping turtles, which are a little scary because they can really hurt somebody, I suppose. I've never been hurt by one. I've helped a lot of them cross the street, but I have a little affinity for them because they come into the yard to basically lay their eggs. And what a turtle will do is they'll kind of back up into the sand and dig out a little hole for themselves first, I guess, before they back up. And then out comes these like little eggs. And sometimes there's a lot of little eggs. And I guess because it's kind of survival of the fittest, some of those eggs do get eaten by predators. But the turtle will leave the eggs there, cover it back up, and go on their way. And if, you know, we see it here, we'll run out and like put a little cover over it to protect the eggs and help those turtles move on. So I have a certain affinity with turtles because I just find they're so amazing. But one of the things about them is that it's really out of chance that I get to see them. And so I might see them out of my kitchen window. And by the time I've run down to try to find them in the yard, and that means having to like run out the front door, the back door, and run out to the yard where I just saw them. Half the time I get there, they're gone. They've already moved on. I mean, you think of a turtle, you think of them as being really, really slow. But they're savvy. They move, and you'd be surprised on just how quickly they can move. And I kind of like channeled the spirit of the turtle for this particular podcast because I thought, you know, dang, they're all about being pace setters, setting the pace for others. And that is so key when you're doing a crisis intervention. And it works like this. You know, when a person is in crisis or really out of sorts or not in their rational state, they will often demand on others to snap to their pace. You know, you can't help me right now. What's the matter? I can't believe they hired you to help me. They also will make lots of demands on you to like rev up with them because it feels great when you have people following along to your drumbeat. But, or yet, or even so, that doesn't help anyone to rev up to what I consider or what I call frenetic energy of the moment. And in chaos, there is always a ton of frenetic energy. And that means that there's almost like, you know, molecules bouncing off the walls and everything's going really, really fast and it's out of sorts. Like nothing's making sense. And at that time, more than any time, we need a person, a being to set the pace for others and lead us out of that moment. Because truthfully, if you rev up to that person and start speaking really quickly or jumping when they say jump or, you know, being quiet when they say shut up, listening to any of their irrational demands, they are not going to be served, nor are you. So we always go back to the goal. What is the goal? Even when you're dealing with a person who is in a real chaotic state, it's the goal is to keep the scene safe. If the scene is already unsafe, then your goal becomes to make the scene safe. So how do we embrace the way of the turtle, the way of the savvy turtle? Because it is undoubtedly what I consider actually a very high level of skill for many crisis interveners. And having done so many trainings in the response training programs courses, I've seen really, really skilled, what I would call senior staff workers at different facilities come into different role plays where they're supposed to be managing a chaotic scene. They'll just rev right up to that frenetic energy. Why does that happen? Because when chaos enters a room, there is always an immediate swell up of fear, misinformation, and distress. And all that yuck, it just leads us to very irrational decision making. And another word for irrational decision making is knee-jerk decision. That's what I kind of call that. When you're irrational, you're making like real knee-jerk decisions that, you know, it's like, you know, a flick of the hand, boom, you made a decision. And you jump to conclusions and we sometimes accelerate into like a ridiculous pace and it's just not sustainable. And this ridiculous pace in turn actually feeds to the confusion and makes chaos, well, it makes chaos very happy. So what do? We have to embody and embrace the savvy turtle way. How do we find the savvy turtle way? Well, that's what we're talking about, aren't we? Well, first, if I may, I'd like to first encourage you to get your own copy of Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management, because this book is all about bringing you up to the multiple steps that it takes to become a savvy turtle. It isn't just like one technique. Many of these techniques all come together at the same time. And if you do have that copy, just again, go to page 90 and begin practicing the 10 tips to redirecting conflict. And tip number 4 and 5 work quite well together and really bring in those elements that create the savvy turtle within all of us. And number 4 in that tip is what I spoke in the last episode, and that was episode 43, which was called Slow Dance. It's about taking one step at a time, and that prepares you for setting the pace. If you know how to break tasks down, or what I should say, break a very large task down into little tasks, then you're on your way to taking one step at a time. And it sounds really easy to do, but I tell you, it is hard for the best of us to break down a huge task into smaller tasks. So read that over. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the Slow Dance episode, please do. You don't have to take down notes right now or anything. All this is in the show notes called episode 44. So you could just go to the Leading Chaos podcast site and find that. So you begin with reading the book. That would be the best. But if you can't do that, practice the slow dance. So you could go back to the previous podcast episode. That'll bring you into the setup, the elements of creating a slow dance for yourself and how you slow someone down in that moment. And then the third piece is to set the pace. And that's what we're talking about here today, is to become the turtle. You must own up to every time you have ever allowed yourself to be swayed by another person's frenetic energy. And we all have. It could happen at work. It could happen at a sports game. You know, the energy that gets swelled up in a huge stadium, you just go along with it. You notice it. Anyone who's been to a baseball game, and we have that in the U.S., you know, somebody starts the wave and it starts on one side of the stadium, and you know, everybody stands and raises their arms, and then it comes to you, and of course you stand up and raise your arms. That's just going along with the frenetic energy of the stadium. It happens there, but it also happens in our intimate relationships. We see one person is upset, and we go right along with them. So noticing how you do that is the first step, and then turning it around and realize that you could avoid matching an angry person's level of agitation. And how we do that, we just practice self-control and the ability to step back and take in the whole scene and become an observer of what's happening in front of us. Now, I have a little story about that. I was at a Take Back the Night march, which was for domestic violence. And typically that's primarily a bunch of women walking, but there's men too that walk, because anyone could be affected by domestic violence, men, women, and children, of course, and animals. And we did the march, and then we got to the little town common, and while we're sitting and standing there, I was kind of close to this guy, and I immediately made an assessment that he was intoxicated. And he started yelling out stuff. And you could tell everybody's like, oh my gosh, I mean, here we are, Take Back the Night. And are we going to let this guy take over our scene at hand? And I knew that, okay, this was the opportunity for me to step forward. And I actually had my dog with me. So I handed the leash of my dog to my friend that I was marching with. And I said, you know, I'm going to intervene. And I moved forward, and there was this woman that he was kind of standing close to, and he was asking her for a lighter because he wanted to smoke a cigarette. And he's kind of grabbing at her. And so what I did was I asked her, may I have the lighter? And she passed it to me, and I turned towards him, and he tried to grab it out of my hand, and instead I set the pace. I didn't allow him to grab it. And that wasn't like a tug of war or anything. It was very, very melodic in many ways. I lit the lighter and I lit his smoke. He had that and he didn't really know what to do, because now I had given him an offering. That's an interesting thing. When you give an offering, something like food or a service to, or in service to, you change the pace. And that little step, I didn't get into like, you shouldn't smoke, you know, you're intoxicated, why are you doing this at Take Back the Night or anything like that. I didn't go there. I dropped the content, and that's another podcast episode that you should definitely listen to, on dropping the content. I'll make a link to it on the show notes. I didn't get into the content. I kept it really clean and not judgmental. And he had a smoke and he didn't know what to do. So what I essentially did, and this again is a much higher level than we're going to get into today, but I obviously teach, if you don't know, I teach physical intervention techniques. And my really big goal is to like do an intervention where I'm always hands off. But in this case, I realized this guy was a little unstable. He was kind of swaying and he's kind of swaying towards me. So I just placed my hand lovingly against his side with no type of force. I'm all about tuning into touch. And we just kind of walked together, me supporting him out of that circle and away. And I said, have a good night, be on your way. And it was very direct. I set the pace of that intervention. It changed everything. It could have been so different. And after the fact, so many people came over to me and thanked me because they saw what happened. And it was so done with what I believe should always, every intervention should be done with kindness and compassion, clarity and authority and purpose to be authentic. Those elements come together. And it set the pace for everyone, and the rest of the night went off without a hitch. So it can be done. You can become the savvy turtle. Begin with acknowledging how you do get sucked into other people's emotions. That is the first step to manage a problem, is to identify it. And then decide, what can I do instead? How can I rethink that scenario over? It's good to kind of go over it again. Rethink it, remanage it, and then maybe even role play it with someone who would be kind enough to do that with you. If you have any thoughts on how, stories that you've been a savvy turtle, I'd love to hear from you. And of course, I have a ton of them and I'm always learning. It's not that I have perfection. I don't. I just try to do my best and go along because that's all that life is about, just doing our best. Each time it's kind of a little bit of an experiment. That's the beauty of life, isn't it? I know you could do this successfully. I imagine you already are. And the key is to have consistency every time we go in and step in an intervention, and that we ensure we're going to walk out of there safe and sound with any emotional or physical bumps or bruises, right? Right on. We will be going on to next week's tip. And this week, again, was setting the pace. And next week's tip begins on page 100. Who doesn't love that number? And it is, be mindful of words that incite. And oh man, there are so many words that you could avoid using. It would really change your day around if you avoid it. And yet we use them all the time. So I'm going to be covering that. I could probably have a 10 episode series on it, but I won't. Not this time. Oh yeah. All right. I've really enjoyed hanging out with you today. You really make my day every time you reach out and make a little contact. And, you know, I notice the folks out there more and more. So don't be shy about sending me a line. Send it to Rhea@LeadingChaosPodcast. I'm there. Or leave that voicemail on SpeakPipe. Meanwhile, this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and find that savvy turtle within you. It's hanging out. Move out of the shell and be all that you could be and set the pace for others and lead us out of chaos and onto safety. Ciao for now.